रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. अयोध्या कांड चैप्टर नंबर 71. भारत रिटर्न्स टू अयोध्या कंटिन्यूड. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. They turned their faces eastward, crossed the Sudama and the Haladini, and Ayodhya, famous for its cardamoms, the Shatadharu flowing west. They stayed a while to rest at the village of Aparaparapata and crossed the Silavaha that mysteriously draws to itself blocks of granite. They passed through the town Salyakartana that lies to the southeast of it, and Bharata relieved the people there of a great fear. They then travelled over high and inaccessible mountains to have a view of the beautiful forests Chaitraratha. The Saraswati and the Sindhu, a tributary of Ganga, were duly crossed, and the party entered the forest of Bharunda, north of the dominions of Viramatsya. The rapid Kulinga, enclosed by mountains and rocks, crossed their path near the Yamuna, and on its further banks they camped during the hot noonday sun. Some time was allowed for them to rest after their rapid and arduous journey. The horses enjoyed the cool shade and later on had a delightful bath in the river. They had their dinner and stored water enough to last them during their march through the desert that lay before them. Like the Lord of Air, whom lofty mountains stay not, Bharata crossed the terrible desert on elephants of the Bhadra breed, specially made, as it were, to cross through those waterless wastes. It was difficult to cross Ganga near the city of Amshadana, so they chose Pragvata instead. Crossing the river Kutikoshtika, they came to the village of Dharmavardhana. They passed west of the village to Torana and reached Varudha, passing by the village of Jambuprastha. They spent the night in the forest hard by, and starting again at daybreak, they travelled on east until they camped in the grove of Madhuka trees near the town of Ujjaina. Beyond lay the realms of Kosala, so Bharata ordered his troops to proceed leisurely and travelled fast, putting to his chariot fleet horses. He stopped for a night at the village of Sarvatirtha and easily crossed Uttanika and other rivers by means of horses born and bred in the mountains. He rode through the river Kutika near the village of Hastipristha and journeyed on, crossing the rivers Kapivati, Stanumati and Gomati near the towns of Lauhitya, Ekashala and Vinata. He rested for a while near a grove in the town of Kalinga, traversed the forest during the night. At day, he entered Ayodhya. 7 days and seven nights was he on the road, and on the morning of the eighth, he drove into the capital of his kingdom and said to his charioteer, "This Ayodhya, famed through the three worlds and encircled by sacred groves, appears today to have been shorn of its glory and happiness. The walls are white and have not been smeared with cow dung for some days. The Brahmanas that make the city their home, our masters of Vedas and the Vedanta, self-restraint, self-control and other attendant virtues crown them with glory. Under the watchful care and rule of Dasharatha, the saintly king, they spend their vast wealth in the performance of yagas and yajnas. How is it that they reach not our ears the sounds of men and women joyfully moving about? Why do we not see happy couples enjoying themselves the whole night in the lovely gardens about the town and depart to their abodes at daybreak? Stateliness and beauty have gone away from Ayodhya, and it seems to be weeping in solitary grief. Is it the fair capital of Dasharatha I see before me, or its ruins? The notables of the town do not drive fast on elephants, horses, or other conveyances happily busy. The pleasure gardens wear a joyless and dilapidated look, formerly so gay with parrots, cuckoos, and bees, maddened on the luscious fruits, roots, and honey. The rare exotics carefully manured, watered, and preserved. The flowery bowers, pools, and artificial mountains skillfully arranged afford every comfort and luxury to the countless couples that frequent them. Trees shed their leaves like fast falling tears at a sunrise, and yet no beasts or birds go about to seek their prey with happy and joyful cries. The cool winds waft not, as of yore, the delicious perfumes of sandal, aloe, and incense. The ear is not delighted with the sweet sounds of veena, drum, or tabor rising forth on every side. But many omens of cruel import meet the eye on every side. Some great calamity is speeding towards us. Would that I were assured of the safety and happiness of my kinsmen and friends. My heart is heavy and faint, tortured with vague doubts, oppressed with a nameless woe. He drove as one demented through the Vaijayanta gate, fast and furiously towards the royal palace. The guards saluted him with cries of "Hail, all hail to thee!" He returned the salute, stopped them at the palace gates, and with a mind teeming with a thousand conjectures, said to his charioteer, "Why am I sent for in such hot haste with no apparent reason? I suspect some great calamity, for my heart is faint. I see all around me signs of a kingdom that is widowed of its lord and ruler. Behold the houses of respectable citizens, unswept, uncleaned, unadorned, with open doors and a deserted look. No sweet incense rises up from them, nor any smoke from the holy fires reverently tended. The inmates sit dazed and listless, bestowing no care on themselves or on their belongings. The fanes of the holy gods are vacant of bright garlands and chaplets. Dust and dirt offend the eye everywhere. The priests and the attendants have abandoned them. Each holy shrine is utterly neglected, and the gods receive not due worship. The merchants sit in blank dismay with no eye to business. The birds in the sacred precincts and holy trees droop with glassy looks and folded wings. Groups of men and women stand along the streets blankly, their never-ceasing tears making channels through their faces and bodies caked with dirt and dust." And so he rode on to the palace, viewing the dire signs of woe and grief along the way. The squares and the royal roads that led from the palace he found lonely and silent. The gates were thickly coated with dust and presented a repulsive sight, for there was none to trouble himself to clean them. Ayodhya was in ruins, once so bright and resplendent with wealth and pomp, even as the capital of Indra. Those strange portents and eye-offending views deepened his gloom and bowed his head as he entered the palace of King Dasharath. Mangalam Koshalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdeye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarvabhaumaya Mangalam.